Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Magic of Love tonight with the Witch and the Wizard. We are here at Tantra Talk, and tonight's episode is all about the five love languages. So we'll be diving right into that. And if you want to know your love language, go to 5lovelanguages.com, and there you're going to see the work by the amazing Dr. Gary Chapman, and he brought to us the work of the five love languages. And while we're there, let's just go over the five love languages really quickly. The first one is words of affirmation. The second love language, acts service. The third love language, receiving gifts. The fourth love language, quality time. The fifth love language, physical touch. So I took the test earlier today, and I've gotten my results here in front of me. And I'll share with you my results, and then we'll talk about what each of these five love languages means and what they are. And really, if you want to consider it, it is a way to totally transform your love relationships, totally transform your relationship. So let's get down to business. Let us see now about these love languages. So I see we have a caller on the show, so we're going to go to one of our callers in a little bit. In the meantime, we are going to go to these results that we have today. So the first result, the results that I have, I'll share with you my results of the five love languages. The first one, I have an 11, and of course, to take the test free online, 5lovelanguages.com. This is incredible work. Take the test. Find out your love language. Transform your relationship. Find out the love language of your partner. Transform your relationships. The first one, my love languages here are, my results are, number one, quality time out of the five. That's my biggest love language, is quality time. Number two, second close to number two, is physical touch. And so those were my top two. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to open up to the wizard, because the wizard is with us as well. How are you doing this evening, Lizzie? Bitch? Are you quite amazing? Hello, wizard. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Can you talk?
Good evening.
Yeah. Can we hear you? We can hear
you.
I can hear you. You're live.
Okay.
How are you?
Okay, I'm good. I'm good. I'm having a little telephone problem, but I'll be right on in a second. Give me one second.
Okay. Awesome. 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 So Elizabeth will be with us in one quick moment. And we're going to go further. So my results, the first one was the quality time with an 11. The top score is 12. The highest score is 12 for any love language. And you know, if you got a 12, that's your number one love language. Most people have a primary love language and a secondary love language. So my primary love language is quality time. My secondary love language is physical touch. And then so I have an 11 in quality time, and I have a 10 on physical touch. Then on words of affirmation, receiving gifts, and acts of service, those are the three bottom ones I have. So I took the test twice today just to kind of prove the results. Quality time came up at 11 both times. Physical touch came up at 10 both times. Words of affirmation came up 5 for me the first time and 6 for me the second time. So words of affirmation important, but they're middle of the road for me, not big. Receiving gifts came up 4 for me the first time and 3 for me this time, even lower. So receiving gifts, not real big for me. And acts of service came up with a 0. So acts of service, not really a big deal for me. So that's where my results are. And Wizard, are you good? And we'll give him a moment to
come
on live. I can hear you. How are you? Hello. Yep, we can hear you.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm so sorry.
Hello. It's all good. Because guess what? You are demonstrating the love tonight because you're with family, and we love our family, and we love being with family. So it is all good, and this show is all about love. Cancer Talks is all about love. How are you tonight, Wizard?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How's everybody doing out there?
Everybody's good. We got a couple of callers on the line. So let's hear. We're talking about the five love languages. I shared my results. You want to share your results, and then we can go to our callers?
Ooh, we might need to go to our phones because my results aren't all in. Now, I can definitely tell you off the, just by looking at it and taking a quick glance at the book and some of the descriptions of it, I can probably give you an order of where I am. And as people speak, I can finish or waiting for my results to come in.
Awesome. Go for it.
Well, actually, for me, I believe, because we all have our own perceptions of where we are and what we really are, and we all have our own views of what we really are, but we really aren't that all the time. So I would love to say that words of affirmation would be first for me or quality time, but I'm going to keep it real, and I'm going to go to number five, the physical. Okay. Because as I look at what I enjoy the most or what I seek the most, physical touch is usually at the top of that list. And to be honest, I think that I'm a pretty good combination of everything, and I think we all are to a certain extent, and I can probably combine some of these. But I'm definitely at the physical touch. I'm the type of person that if you're sleeping next to me, I need to have a toe touching you or something. I need some sort of energy or some sort of connection with the person. It doesn't have to be sexual, as we've seen and as many of those people who have read the book out there. And to me, the second one probably would be the quality time, because that's just a something that I really value and where we really get to dig deep and see who's who and what we learn and we grow from each other. And then, again, connected to the physical touch to me is active services. Because a lot of times our actions and acts of services, again, doesn't have to be sexual, but I'm connecting it to physical touch, because to me they're a good combination, and it's something that I'm always approving of or something that I'm always seeking. And then on the other side of it, on the cooler side of it or the PG-13 side of it, is it's just someone doing things for you. It just, to me, it shows a lot of love when someone is doing things for you or participating in something with you or serving in some sort of way. That's something that I value because I am definitely a server. And then it goes on from there. But we should get into it, and we'll touch back on it again in more details.
Love that. Love that. Well, it's very interesting because my top one is quality time. And my second one is physical touch. So I'm a touchy-feely person, too. I'm always hugging people. I'm always grabbing my kids and them. I'm always kissing people. So people know I'm, like, a huggy, touchy-feely person. That's really important to me in relationships. Really important. So everyone has their, yeah. That's the same way with it. That you're a touchy-feely one, too. So we like hugging out people, grabbing out people. Start rubbing the person's shoulder while we're talking, and a lot of this is non-sexual. So we don't want to automatically think that this is sexual. It's a lot of it is non-sexual. We do it with our kids. I do it with my kids, my grandkids, the babies. I'm always smooching on people. So what does that do, you know, in your life? I know it rushes endorphins all through the body and the dopamine, the really good feeling hormones, you know, when we hug and touch and all that. And humans really are meant for physical touch. But what's it mean for you? Our listeners want to know.
The physical touch for me is an extension of, I guess, feelings, emotions. You know how people say there are a million words behind a look or a picture. To me, it's like there are millions of feelings
and sensitive of energy through touch. You can do so much through touch. I mean, if you touch someone firmly, if you touch someone softly, if you're touching them in a guiding way, in a passive way, there's so much that you can, to me, that I get from a touch from someone. I mean, have you ever hugged someone that they, like, squeeze the death out of you or the life out of you? You know, you
that
can
probably
get
was me. You're like
most
that, too.
That to me.
You squeeze
like,
people
oh,
hard when
squeeze.
You hug them.
Because I'm hugging with love. I'm hugging with love.
So
to me, it's another form of communication, a nonverbal communication. It's important because I think that it says a lot to you, to people, where you are with your space, with your relationship, with how you feel at that exact moment, or how you want to feel, or things that you even want to communicate. I mean, I've received hugs from some people that I feel that they're in need of something, or that they're going through something. Or sometimes I get a hug from someone and it's like, don't touch me again. I'm just doing this because we're in public, you know. And sometimes I give that hug out too. So to me, it's more than just a hug or a touch. It's a way of communication and non-verbally, and a lot of times that's just so much more comfortable for people. Depending on your environment, depending on your situation, depending on your level of comfort in so many different aspects.
Amen. So now, is it okay if I share something that we were talking about in conversation the other day? Just the part that Keith shared.
Are you really
openly.
Asking me this question?
No, I'm not asking
it's
you.
Always
I'm
okay
just
to
ahead.
Share.
Of course it's okay. So the other day you said, we have to love people. You don't do what you want. You do what the other person wants.
Oh, God.
And remember we were having that conversation. I was like, wow, that's so common sense, but how many people don't do it? We don't love people the way they want to be loved. We love them the way we want to be loved. So if my love language is acts of service, I'm automatically going to do acts of service for the person I love and think that they're supposed to love that, and that's not their love language. So what have you to say about that? You know, we got to do what they want, not what we want.
Yeah. Well, our conversation was a twofold apart. It was about our relationship or our show of affection for each other or not. And then I also spoke about me not wanting to buy gifts for my wife because of how difficult it was to even pan out what she wanted. Because I think that the main thing is that love can be an issue, because a lot of times when we're in love or we do things with love, we're so passionate about it and we go so deep and we get lost in a sense, you know. We get so lost and caught up in what's going to be perfect and grand. But what's grand for us is not always grand for your partner. And many times when we're in love or we're going through our emotions and we're getting engulfed and lost in what we're doing, we're going internally to it. We're not really aware of what's really going on externally, and I mean externally in the sense of our partners or what the real mission is. You know, a lot of times we think about what we want because we know what's better for the person, but a lot of times they're not ready to receive that. And if they're not ready to receive it, it's not going to be effective. It's like if I know you need another arm because you only have one arm, and I'm selling you the best arm in the world, or I want to give it to you, but you don't want it because you think you need another elbow on your forehead. So we're completely at two different places. I know what's good for you and I know what you need, but you're not ready to receive it. So you're not going to feel the love. So my love and my passion for what I'm doing is not really being translated correctly or adequately or in an effective manner.
Mm-hmm. Because it's two-way. It's what we're giving, and it's what the other person is receiving. And sometimes we don't complete that whole circuit, right? We know what we're giving because we're on the giving end of it. We don't know what the person is receiving. That's the other part of it. And that's important.
Mm-hmm.
If we truly love the people that are in our lives, we're going to want to love them in the way they most desire to be loved. So let's talk about these. So quality time, what does that, what does that mean? Quality time, that's my number one love language, quality time.
Quality time, and, wow. And I just got my results back.
Oh, tell us your results.
Oh, Lord. So I have an 11 for physical touch. Surprise, surprise. A 9 for quality time. A 4 for acts of service. A 4 for words of affirmation, and a 2 for receiving gifts.
Yeah, that sounds so accurate for you, does it? Because anytime anybody wants to give you a compliment, it's like, whatever, whatever, whatever. Yeah. But
yeah,
like me, you're one of those
touchy
feely people. Mm-hmm. Right? You never want words of affirmation. Never,
or
ever.
Gifts.
Or gifts. Yeah, yeah. Uncomfortable. But a hug is great. A-okay. You know.
Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. Hugs are amazing. Hugs are highly required. We even have the professional cuddlers. And we're even talking about having some professional cuddlers at the retreat, the Sedona Magic of Love Sedona Retreat, in May 11th to the 14th, because we see the huge need for people to be cradled, to be cuddled, to be hugged.
Yes, what?
Huge
yes,
need.
And we have to, yes, and we have to touch on the, we have to take on a holistic approach when we're talking about the magic of love and what we want, how we want to heal people and to understand relationships and needs and so on. So it's going to be amazing. Definitely, people should save the day. You won't want to miss this.
They've got to be with us at that retreat. And the ones that were with us at the last retreat, the Sedona retreat, well, I see Dr. Jatea Wiley is on the line, but I think I'm going to unmute and let her come on the line. She can share about her healing experience on the retreat as well. But before we go to that, quality time, in the description, it says in the vernacular of quality time, nothing says I love you like full undivided attention. Being there for this type of person is critical, but really being there with the TV off, working night down, and all chores and tasks on standby makes your significant other feel truly special and loved. Distractions, postponed dates, or the failure to listen can be especially hurtful. Quality time also means sharing quality conversation. We all know people like this, don't we? I'm like this. You know, quality time is big. That's huge.
Yeah.
So you got a 10 on quality time or a 9?
I believe I got a 9 on that.
9 on quality time. So we talked about physical touch. What about quality time? What does that mean for you?
Well, you basically touched on it and kind of hit it on the nail on the head. But what I want to add, the issue I think that most of us have is that we get so caught up in the daily grind. And society has taken us all so far off to the left that quality time has become different things. I mean, it's become texting your loved one or your families when you're in different rooms. It's become, you know, Skyping a conversation when you're in the same household. So I think that the major part of quality time is really being aware of your environment and what your routines are, because that's really where the disconnect is. Because we all know what quality time means, but do we actually follow it? Are we actually able to execute it? Do we actually do it? Do we actually practice it? Is it in our daily regimen? Because we all know what it is. It's pretty straightforward. What do you say about that?
It definitely is. And there's another extra little twist to the quality time that I really like, that he Dr. Chapman talks about so clearly, is that quality time is not simply, you know, being with the person. Quality time is more like that true, where the person feels that there really is a true connection. Because you can be two people cuter, doing your own thing.
Exactly.
And never really connecting, but for the QT people like myself, we have to feel that even in those activities, there's a connection. And, you know, I seek that out when I'm with people, the connection. Even if we're texting or whatever we're doing, I love that connection. Yeah. And that sort of feeds me. It's like a food. It's like a sizzle to my soul.
Yes. Completely agree. Completely agree.
Yeah. Go to the next one. Physical touch.
Oh.
For the PT people, that's you. This language isn't all about the bedroom. A person whose primary language, right? You said that also. A person whose primary language is physical touch is, not surprisingly, very touchy. Hugs, pats on the back, holding hands and thoughtful touches on the arm, shoulder, or face. They can all be ways to show excitement, concern, care, and love. Physical presence and accessibility are crucial. While neglect or abuse can be unforgivable and destructive, purity and belonging in any relationship. Do you agree? Any additions
to
that?
Yes, wholeheartedly. What was that?
I said, any additions to that?
No, I think I kind of rounded it off earlier and touched on it, but it's such a deep thing when we're looking at it, because to me, physical touch, I mean, and it intertwines with everything. To me, it intertwines with the quality time, because during quality time, there's usually physical touch. And if there isn't, then it's almost safe to say that, you know, you have some distractions. It doesn't mean you have to have physical touch during quality times. But during my quality times, there's going to be some physical touch. I don't know if it's a toe on your knee or we just rub your shoulders or I just have your hand in my hand. But there will be something. To me, it's like the base of it all. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. It's something that we can talk about for the next hour. So we should probably move on to the next topic.
And move on to the next one.
Probably because we can talk about this forever. And if we have more time at the end, we can touch back on it.
Definitely. Words of affirmation is the next one. Actions don't always speak louder than words. If this is your love language, unsolicited compliments mean the world to you. Hearing the words, I love you, are important. Hearing the reasons behind that love sends your spirits skyward. Insults can leave you shattered and are not easily forgotten. Kind, encouraging, and positive words are truly life-giving. I don't have that. Mine was really low. I think six. I took the test twice. 5 was words of affirmation the first time, 6 the second time. Not real, so it's like middle of the road.
Okay.
I can take it or leave it. Like, I'm going to tell myself something good if nobody else tell me anything good. So it's not like I really.
Yeah, we practice those. I am great.
I'm great. I am wonderful. I like myself.
Yes, I am amazing.
I'm amazing. What say you, Wizard, about words of affirmation?
I find it's the second to last one on my list, but when doing my relationships and when I deal with people, whether it's my daughter, whether it's my son, whether it's family, wife, best friend, you know, soulmate, whatever, words of affirmation are really, really high on my outgiving list. And reason why is because I truly believe that we have to feed our loved ones. And when I'm usually touchy-feely anyways, and I'm big on the physical touch, so the words of affirmation kind of wrap it around. And I think it touches a lot of people on many levels because many people are auditory listeners, and when they keep hearing things, they start to believe it. Whether it's not always completely true or not. And, you know, it's the same thing. We can dig deep into, like, pathological lies and things like that. Words of affirmation are very, very powerful, not only for the conscious mind but for the subconscious mind. So I really think that it's one of the most important things because everyone needs to hear these things. It's not only the I love you, it's the you did great today or I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for being there. Thank you for what you have done. Letting them know that their efforts and that have not gone unseen or unappreciated, and also for you to let them know what their value is. Everybody needs to hear that. And, you know, even though it's low on my list, it's still good to hear it But usually I'm pretty confident that, yeah, I know what I did. But so as far as me giving, that's one of my highest things. I think that words of affirmations, we should let people know that we're aware of what we're doing. And even when we look at my counseling days, you know, I'm big on mirroring and repeating and letting them know that I understand, letting my client know that I understand what they're saying. And also, so in case there has to be some clarity provided by them, I can. So to me, the words of affirmation are also, I take it in that sense, if that makes any sense.
Really powerful. Is that also from, is that flavored by your background in counseling and working with people? People do thrive under hearing how much they're appreciated.
I think it's my Latino blood and my big, warm family that I have. My family loves people to death, okay? If you think I'm loving, if you meet my family, you're going to be like, oh, Lord, there's so much love in the room. It's almost euphoric. You might not leave. So I think I was brought up that way because we always got it. I mean, even earlier today before the call, my nephew was talking about his grades and how well he was doing, and all I heard in the background was words of affirmation to him and letting him know how great he is and how great he did, how they're aware of. I mean, I couldn't even get a word of affirmation in. I was like, geez, he's covered. Let me sit over here and mind my business.
He got plenty of words of affirmation.
Yeah, because he is affirmed right now. So It's that's really how we've been. We're very vocal, and you know, and I was blessed to have a great aunt who was very verbal. She's going to tell you exactly what it is, but the good and the bad, and she was really great at that. So I think I was really brought up that way. So that's probably it.
Interesting, because I would say my upbringing was maybe the opposite. Maybe that's why it's not that important to me and why I learned to source it from within. Because we, more often than not, we heard, don't do that. Why are you doing that? Get down from there. Stop it. You know,
well,
I think we heard the words of affirmation. Maybe, I don't know. I did hear, we definitely felt the love. Like, we have a big loving family. We definitely felt the love. And oh my God, yes, I feel the love in my family. It's really strong too.
Yeah.
Strong, strong, strong. But I do pour it out on my kids a lot.
So that right there is still similar to what I'm saying, because for me is also the second to last one. But we're big givers on that. And I know, and I think that you are, and I know that you are, because I'm always stopping you and send me compliments. And I'm like, okay, let's go on to the next subject.
I'm always telling
you
how great something is when you do these incredible videos and all this stuff.
Exactly. So even though our upbringing was different, we're still similar in that sense. We don't really want to hear it, but we're the first ones to give it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And now that I'm correcting you, but I'm bringing that one to light because it is a pretty even pattern. So that's really interesting as well. That's really interesting as well. Yeah, yeah.
It is. That's a relationship dynamic you just uncovered that I was not completely aware of. So that's a good thing. Awareness is awesome.
Yeah, and it might be because we're big givers. I really think that both of us are big givers.
Big,
so we're always looking to give and looking to fill any voids.
Yeah, always. Okay, receiving gifts in this last minute or two of the show. We'll cover these last two. Receiving gifts, don't mistake this love language for materialism. The receiver of gifts thrives on the love, thoughtfulness, and effort behind the gift. If you speak this love language, the perfect gift or gesture shows that you are known, you are cared for, prized above whatever was sacrificed to bring the gift to you. A missed birthday, anniversary, or hasty, thoughtless gift would be disastrous. So would the absence of everyday gestures. Gifts are visual representations of love and are treasured greatly. We know people like this. We give them a gift, and 10 years later, they still have the thing, and it's cruddy and whatever, whatever, but they won't throw it away. They won't get rid of it because so-and-so gave it to them, right? We all know people like this. And we are so not like this.
Well, I'm one of those, actually.
It depends who it's from.
There's some people that you're like, man, my nanny gave me this. I can't.
I don't like
it. I don't want it. I don't want to give it to anybody else. I'm going to put this in the attic until the day I pass.
For sure, but, for sure. Now, I do treasure what people give me because of the person. I'm not big into gifts, though. I was never really like that, maybe because, once again, we grew up with no Christmas and no birthdays. So we didn't get gifts like that, per se. We more got gifts that were just kind of throughout the year whenever someone felt like giving a gift. So I don't know. But getting things, receiving gifts, not real important to me. I would rather have the person than the gift. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we know that, well, you and I know that gifts given to me make me a bit uncomfortable usually. You know, it's a little uncomfortable thing in the sense of I don't want to always receive gifts, but I really believe, so I'm fine with it, and I don't want the gifts because I'm more into the touch and the feel and what the person is doing. You know, when it's in time or when a person does the things that they do to show you what they love you, like, to me, that's more important. To me, like, showing them, going out of their way, and so on. So we're similar in that sense. But I do like giving gifts. And,
yeah, you do, because I see you giving a lot to the people around you, and even when we're away, you're thinking of what to get for the kids. Oh, Selena would love that. And that's really a great place to be within self, is looking for opportunities to give.
Yeah. And I think it depends on the thoughtfulness that we have. I mean, the thoughtfulness and the economical situation. Because obviously,
the economic considerations.
because we just went on a cruise. And there were so many things that if we had $1 million in our pocket, we probably would have emptied it out. Because there was something for everyone, you know. And that's a big thing. So in that sense, it just depends where you are and what makes you feel comfortable. But it's great either or. And, you know, and even when people say, I love when people say, oh, I thought about this for you. It was beautiful. I didn't get it, but I thought, like, to me, that's great. That's, like, just as good as the gift.
Yeah, that's
because to me,
as good
the
as
thought,
the gift.
Yeah, the thought is what counts. Yeah,
it's
amazing. Plus, we don't need a bunch of gifts from everybody. we'll have to buy,
that's
like,
true. I don't want stuff from everybody now because things have different energies on them. And you can love me without giving me something. That's quite all right. We know what that means. Acts of service is the fifth and final one. Can vacuuming the floors really be an expression of love? Absolutely. Anything you do,
yes,
the burden, yes, of responsibility,
yes.
weighing
oh my
on
gosh,
an active service person, yes, will speak volumes. The words he or she most want to hear, let me do that for you. Laziness, broken commitments, and making more work for them tell speakers of this language that their feelings don't matter. Finding ways to serve speaks volumes to the recipient of these acts. You know people like that?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
And
let me get that for you. You're always doing that, too. You're always doing that for people. Let me get that for you. Let me open that door. Let me get that bag. You don't let anybody around you do anything, which is really, really wonderful. And it's the rarest thing to see in this day and age because not everyone is attuned to service. I'm big on service. And really, our lives are about service. What say you, is it?
Hello?
Yeah.
No, I just think that it's one of the best ways to give, and it's so important because there's nothing better than someone analyzing your situation and helping you out as they can. You know, I mean, the last time we were in Barnes & Noble, and I was stuck with the blurring of the videos.
Oh, my goodness. The infamous blurring of the video. Oh, Lord. That video took us through. Yeah. It was a challenge.
So my pressure was, I'm thinking, we have that. We have the website. We have to do the Magic of Love thing. We have to update this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to open the new accounts, and we have our own accounts, and we have our own blogs, and we have this. And that was really creating the pressure for me. And just without even speaking or anything, you just went in and handled the website, and you put things up for the retreat, and you changed a couple of things around, you put the words in. I didn't even know you were doing it. When you said, done, 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 I said, is she crazy? This is what she's talking about. And I said, OMG, she completed these things. Like, and then what was crazy was, I don't know if you remember, but that's when then the blurring got done really quick, because I had the pressure gone. I was able to think clearer. So that was amazing. I was like, wow, she's great. Like, that was so helpful. And to me, that's very important when some, because that's one of the best or the highest ways of someone saying, I care. You know, when someone sees you going through something and they put their hands in it. You know, it's not like, oh, he's starving, but, oh, let me get out of his way. It's like, oh, let me make him a sandwich, or let me make her a sandwich, or, oh, she's tired, let me get the kids for her, you know. Or your spouse is tired, let me get the kids out of the house so that she can take a nap, or whatever. Like, to me, that's like self-sacrificial. You know, there's nothing that can buy that. This is you going in 100%. And to me, that's a beautiful thing. It's amazing. And it's irreplaceable to me, you know?
Wow.
Unless the physical touch. No, I'm joking.
The physical touch can trump that one, though, huh?
Possibly. It depends.
Possibly. It depends on how much pressure we're under to get something done. That's really important.
Exactly.
Because when I'm under pressure to get something really important, a hug is not the number one thing I would be looking for in that moment.
Exactly. Thank you very much
we
for
got,
that blurring video right now.
Hello. We got a boatload of stuff to get done, you know, and we just always feel that because we know that the calling on our lives for what we do in the world is so huge, and we know that our work in the world is required, it's huge, and it's, you know, about it. We got to be about it. Let's bring Dr. Jitea on live. I want to hear from her. Dr. Jitea, you present? You're unmuted. You're live with us. How are you?
Hello. Can you hear me?
We sure can hear you.
You're the first guest that we've met live.
You're enjoying the show.
You when I hear your voice.
Yes, I'm enjoying the show. I'm loving the topic. A couple of years back, I actually took the test to see what my love language was, because it's funny, you know, growing up, we're always told, treat people how you want to be treated. So it's like ingrained in our minds, and that's really not how relationships should go. So I definitely appreciated the conversation. And for me, I am, my love language is words of affirmation and also the quality time. And for me, receiving gifts and receiving acts of service were very low. However, it's something that I love to do for others. So for me, that's why I think I will love you to the end of time, because even though you teach people not to require validation from outside sources, you give it, and you give it in a major way. So since words of affirmation is my number one love language, and you're always telling me all these amazing things about myself, some things that I don't even see, and
that are really
for me,
true.
It's like, wow.
They're always true. Like,
exactly.
I'm never just exaggerating. Or yeah, I always
that's
tell
because
people
you're amazing.
The good stuff I love about them. Yes, all
yeah.
true. All true.
Well,
yeah,
I definitely appreciate that, and it always seems sincere, which is really nice. And a lot of people really compliment other people, and so when you find somebody that does, then you definitely appreciate it. So,
yeah.
But like I said,
true.
I'm a huge giver, and I'm a huge person that likes to do the acts of services, but that's not something that's high on my list.
Uh huh.
You are.
It's funny.
You are.
Yeah, it's funny how the thing we feel most comfortable giving is not always our own love language. I guess that's the reverse of loving people exactly the way we want to be loved. We know the way we love to be loved. My love language, quality time. But maybe I'm more of the kind of person to give people automatically words of affirmation. I'm always giving words of affirmation to everybody, my kids, everybody. Oh, look, you're so amazing. Oh, that was great what you did. Oh, I love that. Oh, you're beautiful. Oh, you're amazing at that. Oh, you are nasty. That's what I tell wizards sometimes when he does something with a video. I'm like, man, your skills is nasty. You know what I mean? So, and it's like it automatically pours out of me, though I don't really need to hear it. And maybe I don't really need to hear it all that much, is because it's always pouring out of me. So I don't know. That's another interesting dynamic. So before we conclude, tell the folks about what this Sedona retreat meant to you, and why folks should absolutely come with us to Sedona, May 11th, to the Magic Blog.
Definitely everyone who is listening, and then refer people that you know who might need it. The Sedona retreat was definitely a life-changing experience. I've never experienced anything quite like it. And when I went into the retreat, I guess I expected, you know, sitting in a room and taking notes and doing workshop-style things, but it's nothing like that. It's very experiential, and you really do get to the bottom of the issues that are holding you back. Sedona was the most beautiful place I've ever been to, and I do a lot of traveling. I do a lot of vacations, and we always think of beaches as the perfect place to go that's so pretty, but Sedona was absolutely breathtaking. So it just was the whole experience wrapped into one, from the love and the care, and even the way, even though it was a very emotional experience, I do believe that the witch and the wizard took such great care of everyone that was there, and really gave them a safe place to talk about whatever it is that was on their hearts and spirits, and to really dig deep. So it was not something that was surface. It was digging deep. So if you want to go to a retreat where you're going to sit there and take notes and sing Kumbaya, this is not the retreat for you. But if you want to really go in there and come out a changed person and to really live a higher quality of life, then this is definitely something that you would want to go to, because I just can't even, words can't even describe how much my life has changed since I went to the Sedona retreat.
Wow, that is so awesome. Wow. That really warms my heart to hear it, because we do not do retreats where you sit in a room. We ain't about sitting in the room all day. We have to get out and about. We got to get into the vortices. We got to walk. We got to go to our spots that we love going to in Sedona. We got to see the crystal shops. We got to eat in the restaurant. We're experiential. What say you, wizard?
No, I just love that, and I love hearing Dr. Jatea. Well, she knows how much I love her, you know, in every way. She's amazing, and it was just amazing being there with her and being a part of what she was going through, what we all went through. And I just always look forward to having those experiences and continue to grow with you all, because it's priceless. And I think that's something that we don't all get. Like, a lot of times we help people, or we have some services, or we go through some therapeutic things, but we don't always see the manifestation of the work. We don't always get to see that. So to see Dr. Jatea and to hear her and to know that, you know, we'll be doing more things in the future is always an amazing thing, and it's such a fruitful experience. And I can't even put into words how great it is and how happy I am to be a part of it, and blessed that she's always also allowed us to be a part of it and be in there and be involved and make the moves, whether they were easy or difficult or uncomfortable. It just takes a lot, and it says a lot about her and all of our connections. So I'm just blessed to be a part of that.
I feel the same way. I'm blessed to be a part of everyone's life that was at the Sedona retreat, all the retreats we've done over the years, the retreat coming up in May 11th to the 14th. And imagine, we were out and about in Sedona. It was not hot, although it was amazing how it was December and it was cool that first couple of days, but that Sunday when we got on that Bell Rock, I don't know, the heat came up